Hello and welcome to Tribal Council, a show in which two brothers who had never seen Survivor before start from the very beginning. I'm Patrick.
And I'm Chris. And this week we're going to talk about season 11, episodes 6, 7, 8, and 9. But first, just a quick thing about something as old as I am. The Nespresso.
Oh. Okay.
Apparently started in 1986, which is when I also started. We had somebody tweet at us, Michael. He wants to know, he said, I want to hear more about this Nespresso thing from the perspective of a black coffee Keurig drinker. So last week's episode, Patrick recommended Nespresso because he just got one. And So Michael wants to know more about it. Like, how is it? How does it compare to regular coffee? I think is what he's asking.
Well, I don't know that I can answer what it's like from the perspective of a black coffee Keurig drinker, because I am not a black coffee Keurig drinker.
But you have, however, had coffee from a Keurig.
That's true. Is it Keurig or Keurig?
Yeah.
Cool.
Probably the second one.
So I will say that, like, Nespresso, so you can get like coffee pods that will make just normal coffee. You can also get espresso pods, or like a double espresso pod that's like a double shot of espresso or whatever. There's different sizes of things and different types. The just like coffee, I don't know really how to describe this. It is not the same as just like a black coffee, in that, like, even if you don't put anything else in it, there is like kind of like a foam on top, like a, there's something else going on there in the pod other than just coffee, and I don't know how they do it, and I don't know what it is.
But fun fact, the idea was kind of discovered by this guy named Eric Favre in 1975. He worked for Nestle, and he noticed that there was a coffee bar near the Pantheon in Rome that was like way busier than other coffee bars. And he figured out it's because instead of like when workers were making the coffee, instead of just like pumping the piston for that releases the coffee one time, this place did it a bunch of times, which created the extra foam that you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
And that's where the idea came from in 1975. They played around with it for a while, and it wasn't until like 1986 in January that it was like more widely released.
Oh, well, that explains it. Yeah, there's a little bit of foam. We got ours through a Costco deal. So like the machine was cheap, plus it came with a bunch of pods, plus it came with a normally $100 like milk frother for free with this deal. I mean, not for free, but like as part of the deal. And so my favorite thing with it so far has been doing like the espresso pods and then like frothing my own milk, and using either we've used like a mix of like half and half and coffee creamer and like frothing that, because then it's like flavorful. And then it's like hot and foamy, and then pouring it in, and it is just like a latte that I would get from Starbucks, but at home for like a dollar. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Another fun fact.
It's very different than like normal, not very different. It is different than like normal coffee, but I like it. I prefer it, I think. Also, sorry, just to keep going on this, Kayla's favorite thing to do is to make basically any of it, but then put it in a large travel mug with 8 ice cubes, and it just becomes like a great iced coffee or iced latte, which I'm sure that you can also do with other things, but this is like a real espresso latte over ice.
Specifically 8 ice cubes?
She specifically likes 8 ice cubes, yes.
Okay.
The milk frother thing that we do has a cold setting, so you can make like cold foam out of it, which is really cool. Great. Yeah.
Fun fact about Nespresso: in May 2022, so like just a couple months ago, more than 500 kilograms of cocaine were seized after a drug was found in a shipment of coffee beans that was delivered to the Nespresso factory in Switzerland.
Oh, that's fun.
It doesn't seem like anybody from the company was connected to it, and it was just like kind of accidental. It wasn't supposed to like make it that far, but 500 kilograms, over 1,000 pounds of cocaine was found, with an estimated street value of more than $48 million. Oh, 48 million euros, which at this point not doing so great.
That'd pay for quite a bit of an espresso.
Yeah. I mean,
one other thing,
if you're going for an espresso to like get you energized, the cocaine, I think, would do it too.
Yeah, but like not as tasty. One other thing in comparing Keurig to Nespresso is that Nespresso's capsules are made of aluminum instead of plastic. And so whenever you order stuff from Nespresso online, they also just send you a pre-labeled bag. So you can just like dump them in the bag and send them to Nespresso, and they will cut them open and compost the coffee inside and recycle the aluminum pots.
Nice.
So it's much more, well, I don't know if it's more, but like it feels sustainable. Where one of my issues with Keurig was that like I felt like there was a lot of plastic waste, and there's not that with Nespresso, so that's nice.
Very cool. This episode brought to you by cocaine smuggling.
Ooh, that's fun.
All right, cool. Hopefully that answers all your Nespresso questions, Michael.
Also, Michael, if you have more questions, you're probably listening to this while I'm like right beside you sitting on the beach, so you can just ask me then.
Nah, he's going to listen to it on the drive tomorrow. Oh, wait, no, this won't come out. Never mind. This isn't going to come out. Yeah.
Yeah, this will get posted while we're at the beach with Michael, so.
I probably won't. All right, let's talk about Survivor, though. Big mouth, big ball, big mouth, big trouble.
What's the big mouth mean? I know what the big mouth means. Like the crocodiles, yeah.
No, big mouth.
Audience, Chris is just like opening his mouth really wide on the Zoom video right now.
Big as I can get
just
it.
So I can see what a big mouth is.
So I bet mosquitoes. You can
put your whole microphone in your mouth. This is great content.
Ugh, that wasn't great.
Probably didn't taste very good.
Mosquitoes.
The real Griffin's Amiibo corner.
Mosquitoes pretty bad around camp. And then the reward challenge.
Yeah.
A lot of these episodes are really, they're like, I feel like they've switched to starting with like a little bit of a cold open kind of. They're just like, here's just a little bit of stuff. And then they jump to the reward challenge pretty early.
Man. The merge happens like halfway through this batch of episodes, and I kind of forgot that we were not already merged in the beginning of this, so I got thrown off.
Yeah, so they have another little
reward challenge.
Competitive game here where it's 2v2 where they have to push a big ball through onto somebody's side, basically. And the winning team gets burgers, hot dogs, beers, barbecue grill, root beer, like a nice cookout. And the winning team...
I think that you are really downplaying what this challenge is. It's not just moving a big ball into like the other person's area or whatever. Like the big ball is taller than all of them. It is like a very, very large,
yeah,
seeming like a boulder kind of. And also there are like obstacles. Like they're not like in the middle of a giant field. They're like in a forest. They have like maneuver around trees and stuff.
Yeah.
You were describing like soccer, and this is not that.
That's true. It is a big ball, big mouth, big trouble. What Jeff tells them at the start of this, because they have to turn over the immunity idol, which I was like, ooh, interesting, is that both tribes are going to tribal council today, but the winning tribe of this challenge gets to also participate in an individual immunity challenge, where somebody can get immunity there, and that person also gets to witness the other tribal council. So they do this.
We saw in Palau for the first time, I think. Yeah. Oh no, we saw it in Vanuatu.
Well, wherever we saw it, all of this happened, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Ooh, super cool. And then I was like, oh, wait, we've seen this before. But enough of it had left my mind that when he said it this time, I was like, oh, that's a cool twist. And I was like, wait, I've seen this before. This shouldn't be like that exciting for me.
We saw it in Vanuatu and Palau. It happened both times.
So they compete. Steph and Cindy battle it against Amy and Danny. Yasha gets the victory point there, with Amy and Danny winning. And then Brandon and Bobby John fight against Judd and Jamie. And Judd and Jamie win that one. So it's tied 1-1, Yasha and Nakum. And then Nakum scores again. And then Yasha scores again. And then Nakum takes the win 3-2. So Nakum will get to have one more battle for individual immunity, where they have to collect these bags of tiles and then unscramble the letters into a two-word phrase. As they're doing this, Rafe kind of has the lead here with it. He's trying to unscramble the letters. Judd, like, is struggling to even get his letters out of the bag, but looks over at Rafe's and he's like, oh, ancient ruin. And Rafe's like, oh, ancient ruin. So Rafe wins.
Yeah. Which, man, good thing Judd and Rafe are like allies, because that was annoying and rough. It happened in Marquesas, maybe, when Sean won the car, I think.
Oh, was that when somebody just had like two letters flipped or something?
Yeah, and then like said it out loud and then it gave it to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Marquesas, but I might be wrong.
I think that sounds right. Yeah, so Rafe wins individual immunity. So he is the only one in this episode that it has immunity. And he'll get to witness the other tribal council as well, which is cool. Which actually doesn't ever come up. Like, nobody, I don't think that ever gets mentioned. Like, they don't show him like bringing info back to the other tribe or anything.
No, but what they don't say, but was true in Vanuatu and Palau, and so they could have guessed it here, is that he then gets to give immunity to someone at that tribal council.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forget. Yeah. Yeah. So they do some talking. There's a point in the competition where Bobby John was like screaming in Jamie's face in excitement, and they were just kind of doing a just like guys yelling at each other in competition thing. People didn't like it.
Yeah, it was super weird. Like, it's not, it wasn't just guys yelling at each other. They were like inches from each other's face. Just like, it looked much more like gorillas than guys yelling at each other in a sports game.
Yeah. Yeah. So people definitely were not fans of this. It was kind of interesting to see like both tribes talk about it, because they're on different tribes. And so they were both like, yeah, that other person was like out of control, right?
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. I did. So they're like, Nakum is grilling out. This is on day 15. They're grilling out, drinking beers. Judd is very confident he's not going home. It seems like he like doesn't think he has to worry about anything anymore. Margaret still kind of wants to get rid of him and has a good quote where she says, we have a, oh, well, I forgot. So like they were given a set number of beer and root beer. And so they already knew exactly how many each person was supposed to have. But throughout this process, there was like some trading of like, you can have my hot dog if I can have your beer. And it gets down like low numbers. And they're like, somebody drank extra beer, or extra root beer. Like, we're short some bottles. And Margaret had a quote of, we have a beer root beer conundrum.
So what platform did you watch this episode on?
Paramount Plus. This episode brought to you by Paramount Plus.
Okay, I saw this whole beer root beer conundrum on the previously on when I watched episode 7, and I either just blanked out and didn't see this, or just I'm confident that I did not see them eat any of this stuff.
Oh, it was like a few minute segment, like that's a significant chunk.
But like, I remember everything with the challenges. I remember everything with the like strategizing afterwards. I have notes of those things. I just don't have any notes from this. And then I watched episode 7 and it was like, Judd got super drunk. And I was like, did they cut it because they didn't want to show him being drunk? And then he gets drunk again in another episode. And I was like, I don't know what's happening here.
Well, in this,
maybe I just like blanked out.
In this segment, it doesn't show him get like that drunk, really. It's more about, he like trades Steph, like, you can have my hot dog and I'll get one of your beers. And like that happens with somebody else. And then they get down and there's only like a few left. And it's made pretty clear that Judd stole extra drinks. And then at one point he says, I think to the camera, like, they can kiss my ass because I won this challenge. So like, I'm the reason they're eating any hot dogs or hamburgers. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I...
Well, you do. I just told you. I just told you. Now you do.
I don't know how I missed it.
Mm. We get a little bit of Yasha with Brian talking to Gary about trying to stick together with Amy and getting rid of Bobby John. But Gary doesn't want to yet because he thinks Bobby John is strong. So he wants to kind of carry him along with that. And then we go into tribal councils. This felt like a very quick episode, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, part of that is because it's a double tribal.
Yeah. So Nakum's tribal councils first. Jeff asks Judd if he's a good sport. And Judd goes off on a very defensive rant that you see people do when they think the person is kind of right and they have to defend themselves or whatever. And he just like rants and rants and rants. And I said, boy, I don't like Judd.
Yeah, he's like kind of screaming at Margaret and she's just kind of like, this is why I don't like him. And she's like, fuck you.
Well, then he's like, all right, everybody in the tribe, do I listen to you? Do I listen to you? And they're like trying to answer as he's interrupting them to say like, hey, do I listen to you? And they're like trying to say, like some of them are trying to say yes while he's interrupting to say, to keep asking them. I hate that guy.
Yeah, it's a mess.
So they go vote and Margaret is gone 6-1, which has happened 24 times. I was surprised it was 6-1 just because I can't remember who the other vote was for. Who did Margaret vote for? I was just surprised that that many people were against Margaret and not like
Judd. I think Margaret voted for Judd.
Yeah. So like why, like, I guess maybe people knew it was inevitable and wanted to just like fall in line and not like seem different. But like Judd seems so awful here. Like how did everybody vote for Margaret?
I mean, Judd also like won them the challenges. Yeah. Like Judd got, I think, all three of their points.
Yeah, that's true. But so what? He sucks. 6-1 we've seen happen to Kimmy, Frank, Daniel, Michelle, Richard, Alicia, Brady, Travis, Stephanie last season, and Margaret this season. Yeah, and then we go to the Yasha Tribal Council.
Yeah.
There's lots of praise given to Brian here. I don't remember why they were praising Brian so
much. I just have down that like they feel very kumbaya.
That is true. This tribe definitely feels better than the other tribe.
I don't know why they were praising Brian.
Yeah, I can't remember. And then I completely forgot how this twist worked before. And so when Jeff was like, all right, Rafe gets to give one person immunity, I was like, oh shit. And I was like, oh wait, I should have known that. Like, I shouldn't be surprised by this.
Yeah.
I thought he should pick Amy because it seemed like they were kind of out on or like against Amy here because of her injury. And so I thought vote, like him giving it to her would mess with their plans. But he gives it to Gary, which I don't think Gary was like even in the running. Cause I feel like your goal there should be to mess with their current plans.
I think that is a modern goal. I think that back then, like what we saw in Vanuatu was, I think his name was Johnny, got to give it to someone and he was like, I'm going to give it to this person because you guys need to sort your own shit out and they are not on the chopping block. So like figure this out yourself. Where in Palau, it was like the whole Karora tribe got to vote for immunity for someone on Oolong.
Yeah.
And that was like, they ended up giving it to Ibrahim, I think it was. And that was like, because he was on the chopping block, they were trying to fuck with him. But
I was surprised that when they went to vote that Amy was not gone. I'm like, how? She's so, like, her ankle is bad. Like, how do they just not get rid of her? But they didn't. They voted, and Brian is voted out 5-1, which has happened about 35 times, to Silas, Robert, Rob, Jake, Lillian, Rob, Shean, John, Kim, Brian, and in season 41, Eric. But three Robs or Roberts gotten voted out 5-1.
It's unlucky.
Yeah. And we move on to episode 7, Surprise Enemy Visit.
What was the name of that episode?
Big Ball, Big Mouth, Big Trouble.
What was the name of episode 1? Big Trek, Big Trouble, Big Surprise?
Big Trek, Big Trouble, Big Surprise. Yeah.
What are they doing? Why are they naming episodes like this? Literally both of those episode titles have Big Trouble in them.
Yeah. They like the three thing. Episode 5 is Crocs, Cowboys, and City Slickers.
Yeah, which is also bad because it's like not quite alliteration. Like they want it to be alliteration, but it's not.
Yeah, it's like the same letter, but it's not the same like consonants.
Yeah.
Like sound.
Anyway. Consonants.
Surprise, enemy visit.
Surprise,
enemy visit. We're started Yasha, day 16. Turns out Bobby John hurt his shoulder pretty bad in the ball pushing challenge and has like a festering wound on his shoulder that his shirt is stuck to and he has to peel off. So that's real fun to see. And they just like, after they do that, like, I think I just didn't like consciously take note of it. You just see like everybody has these markings that are like eventually leading to open sores. Like, it's not great.
Yeah. And like for the rest of this batch of episodes, at least, well, I guess for the rest of this batch of episodes, Bobby John just like doesn't have a shirt on the whole time. And you could just like see this wound on his shoulder. Which like he's not putting a shirt on because he doesn't want to have to peel a shirt off of this open wound again. But it just like, then you can just see the wound every time you see him. And it's not great.
Open festering sores, as Brandon says. Then we head to the reward challenge. This one I thought was kind of fun. They have to unspool cloth from a pole onto their body. But as they like go down the line, like they're adding a person into that basically. And so they eventually end with, is it four people? Four people all wrapped up?
Four people. This, I mean, sure. It was fun to watch. This like looks like my hell.
I would hate it. I hated this challenge so much. Yeah.
I don't like getting dizzy. I don't like being like tied to people. There's a point when I think it's like Rafe, Steph, and someone else like fall over, and I was like, I would just be done.
They lost like right after that. Steph was the first one, so like she started before people were attached to her, and she had a good method where she was running around the pole, but she was always facing the same direction. So she was like running like sideways, backwards, forward, sideways, backwards, forwards to like stay looking the same direction to stop the dizziness, which was smart. But then they just fell apart. Yeah, so they lose and Yasha wins. And so they get to eat a bunch of chocolate and go ziplining. That seemed all fun. Except for who was like the one that was terrified of
Amy.
Terrified of the heights.
Real terrified of the zipline.
Yeah.
This challenge made me think like I miss this in New Survivor. Like they don't get to do like they don't earn excursions.
Well, I think that's because we've only seen COVID Survivor and they were keeping stuff pretty tight.
Oh, that might be true. I didn't even consider that.
I mean, I don't know. We'd like other listeners, you can email us or tweet at us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or at tribalcouncil20 on Twitter to let us know if like in season 40, 39, 38, like if they're still doing like reward excursions like this. Or maybe we'll find out in the fall with season 43. Maybe that'll be different.
I hope that you're right about that, because I kind of just assumed that it was like there's too much strategizing and advantages and stuff. We don't have time to like watch people go ziplining. But if I was going to go on Survivor, I'd hope to win like a zipline through the Guatemalan jungle. That sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just assumed it wasn't in the ones we've seen because that requires you to be around other people that they can't like bubble quarantine beforehand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so then we go to a little bit of Nakum, where they made a deck of cards out of leaves and paint, which I thought was very cool. Very island living. And they decide, Yasha paddles to Nakum to invite them to a pool party, which I thought was very nice. And Nakum, some of the people on Nakum were having none of it. They're like, fuck that. I don't want to talk to those people. They're my enemies. Like, none of that. And I was like, just chill in the pool for a bit. Like, just have some fun.
Yeah, that is, I was like, this is real island living of like, just go have a little pool party. Yeah. I also was really thrown off at first of like, we've never seen a tribe just go and visit another tribe.
Yeah.
But they hiked to this camp, like in the first episode. And then Yasha had to like boat away to their camp. So they just reversed that.
Yeah, but like, I bet they had to get permission. Like, I bet they had to ask, like, hey, producers, can we, like, do this? Or maybe they're
yeah, probably.
But it was for, whose birthday was it?
Danny.
Yeah, it's for Danny's birthday. So they were like, hey, let's do this. That'll be fun. I loved all of this, but some of the Nakum people were not fans of it.
It was just, I it at least has never been acknowledged that they like might know how to get to the other tribe's camp in any other season. And so this was like, oh, they can just like, they theoretically could just go there whenever. That's kind of wild.
So they hang out there, swim for a bit. The Yasha also offered, they brought some chocolates back from their reward. And so they brought that for people to eat as well, which some people are taking advantage of. Jamie is kind of having none of it. He just like sits there quietly and is just like observing and taking in information. We jump ahead to day 18. Bobby John's in the pool and a bunch of little fish are eating the wound on his shoulder. And while they're doing that, they're like right by his shoulder. And this, he looks like such a just animal where they're just doing that. And he's just like throwing his mouth into the water, trying to grab the fish in his mouth so he can eat the fish. He just looked like a dog, basically. It was ridiculous. I'll be honest, very good idea, I think, all around. Like, I think the fish eating the wound, great. It's probably helping the wound. Him trying to eat the fish, great. Trying to get food, like, all around a good idea. It just looked ridiculous.
I feel like I would have used my hands
to catch the fish.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, maybe.
My hands are much more dexterous than my teeth.
Yeah.
Chris's physical comedy this episode is excellent. Too bad it does not translate well to a podcast.
Amy brings up the football thing with Gary again. He continues denying it. I continue not giving a shit about it.
Well, okay, I don't give a shit about it until the last episode of this batch, because there's a really funny like showdown between Gary and Jeff, which we'll get to.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about off the top of my head. We head to immunity challenge where they have to retrieve 12 giant puzzle pieces in the sand, where like some of them are like sitting out, some of them are buried in the sand that they have to find. Nakum is the first to get all 12 pieces, and then they are also the first to complete their puzzle, so they win immunity.
Yeah, it's like real close for a while, and then Yasha just like cannot find the last couple pieces.
Yeah. So we get a little bit of time with Yasha before Tribal Council. There's the idea thrown around that Bobby John could go, kind of like a, it's not fair that he gets a second chance and this is all our first chance, so like he doesn't really deserve it. So Amy takes that idea to Gary, and Gary tells Amy like, listen, if Danny's in on it, then I'm in on it, that's fine. Brandon is kind of split on whether to hold his alliance with Bobby John, because Brandon and Bobby John have been pretty close, or to get rid of Bobby John. We head to Tribal Council and find out that it's Amy that's going 5-1, which has happened 35 times, including the last Tribal Council we just saw on last episode, where I read off a bunch of people's names already.
Except that this was 4-1.
Nope, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was, because then going to the merge, and Yasha's 4-6.
The site I pull all these votes from lists it as 5.
I mean, there's Amy, Brandon, Bobby John, Gary, Danny.
Weird. All right. Well, there we go, I guess. Yeah. That's weird.
Yeah. It doesn't matter that much.
Now all the other stuff I have. Yeah, but all the other stuff I have from this site, who knows? It's all wrong.
I mean, so far it seemed pretty okay. Everyone's allowed to make mistakes sometimes.
Yeah. So the 4-1 people that we've seen go, 4-1 happens a lot. We've seen it happen to Sean, Teresa, Sarah, Sheehan, Ted, Sean, Ethan, Jerry, Tom, Karen, and that's it. Maybe there might have been a 42. It happened to Lindsay last season in 42. Rock, or not last season, but in the most recent season, to Lindsay and Roxroy. Yeah, lots of people.
Did they kind of count it for... Oh, nope, never mind. I was going to say for Tori, but she used her shot in the dark. So it would have been 4-0.
Yeah, that was a 4-0. So we head into we find out then that they're going to go straight to Nakum's camp. All of their rewards. And I was like, wait, Nakum's camp? They don't have the pool. But then Jeff's like, all your rewards and personal items are being moved. And I was like, okay. It does turn out that I feel like the swimming hole's a worse deal with where it got moved to, but whatever.
I agree with that. Yeah. This was a fun merge of just like, after Tribal Council, they just go to the other camp and wake them up to be like, hey, we're together now.
But are they together?
Well, as we will see, no.
Yeah. So we had in episode 8, the hidden immunity idol. Yeah, so everybody shows up surprising the Coombe. They've got new buffs, which are like a reddish color. There's already some tension between Bobby John and Jamie, because in the last episode, two episodes ago, they screamed at each other a bunch.
Uh-huh. We're now on episode 8. Yes. Did you see that?
Yeah. Yep, okay, cool. Sure did.
Cool.
Day 19, Yasha people are gathering a bunch of like wood and doing work, while Nakum sits around and watches and kind of just gives them dirty looks, basically. It's like, what are these people, where do these people get off doing work and preparing stuff for camp?
Yeah, doing stuff at our camp.
Yeah.
It's very divided.
It's been a while since there's been
like such a clear like 6-4 split like this, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. It has been a little bit more intermixed recently. They get tree mail, and guess what? Hidden immunity idol's happening after all. The tree mail's like, hey, there's a hidden immunity idol in the wood, and it describes it as being like 8 inches tall or long.
And I'm really shocked considering the episode title was called The Hidden Immunity Idol.
Oh, I didn't know the name of the episode when I was watching them. Yeah, I didn't pay attention to that. It was funny to see. So like, because it was basically what we talked about last episode, because I brought up like, hey, Patrick, you mentioned there's supposed to be hidden immunity idols this season. What gives? We haven't seen them. Well, it turns out they're coming up now. And we talked about how like maybe they like changed them up over time, and they sure did, because this thing's fucking massive compared to like the tiny rolled up piece of paper that it is in current seasons.
Yeah. And it is so funny to watch how they like, they get this tree mail saying like, this thing exists, go find it. And they just all are looking without any abandon, just like, they don't care. Everybody just goes and looks all together at the same time. It's like, oh, this is so different.
Yeah.
30 seasons ago.
I mean, we'll see it in the next episode when what's his face finds it, but it's like huge. Like in the current days, you could like stumble across it and then you just hide it in like the band of your pants, because it's just a little rolled up piece of paper. This thing's huge. I was like, they're all like going out to search for it with nothing else on them. I was like, if you find it, like, how are you going to hide this thing? It just turns out maybe people just aren't as observant, because he does hide it.
There's like not much strategy involved. Like, I don't think that there's a thought of like, we should not tell people we have this.
Yeah, but he does keep it hidden, I think, or at least as far as we know.
Right, you're right.
So we do find out the idol expires at the final four. And yeah, they all start searching for it. They show some with Steph and Bobby John talking about how he just wants to be on the jury really badly. Like, he's upset he didn't make it to the jury last season when he was on season 11. So they have a little agreement, not like an alliance, which they say, but like that if Steph can help Bobby John make it to the jury, she will, basically. They come up with a new tribe name, which is a combination of the end of Nakum and the end of Yasha, and it's Shakum, which I think is
a fun name. Mm-hmm. There is a little shot when Lydia is painting it like on the flag, and she's like, Shakum to us means like unity. And I was like, these words do mean things in the native language, and you are just like kind of just like breaking these things up.
Yeah.
Nakum and Yasha like mean things more than just being your tribe names.
Nakum, it means house of the pot. It's like a Mesoamerican archaeological site, it's like a structure, house of the pot. Yasha derives from the Mayan, which means blue green water.
Yeah.
So
this is like blue green pot.
Mm-hmm. Or house of the water.
Mm, uh-huh. Or probably neither of those things, but
pot water. Rafe, while searching for the idol, just puts his hand right in a hornet's nest, gets swarmed by hornets a little bit.
I forgot about this. It
doesn't really come up again, so he must not have gotten stunned that badly. Like, it's just like that quick moment they show us.
He is a wilderness guide. And so it is very funny that this happened to him.
Yeah. We get some of Nakum complaining a lot of negativity in the Nakum camp. They're complaining because they've merged, but there was no merge feast and they should get food. And the Yasha people are just like, okay, whatever. They go fishing. I thought the Yasha people all go fishing together. So the four of them go fishing, which the Nakum people are like, that's not a good idea. Like, what are you doing? Which I agree with, like separating yourselves. But I think it was so clear that they were like, not welcomed by the Nakum people that they're just like, let's just get out of here.
Yeah.
Hold on. Before you're done.
It's breaking news.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
One more thing before a nice break in it, which is Rafe, who's part of Nakum, is sitting there looking around. He's like, am I a member of the Axis of Evil? Like, these Nakum people are bad. Like, they're just talking shit about the other people. He's like, I'm one of the bad guys. It was very funny to just see him realize this. It was like a lot of emotional turmoil for him, but just like seeing it from the outside was just funny to watch. Like, very comedic to just look around and be like, oh shit, I'm on the bad guy team.
Which, I mean, he's right. Like, Jamie, Judd, and Stephanie, I don't like any of them. I'm fine with Lydia and Cindy. I'm going to be honest. Until like this episode, I did not know that Cindy existed.
Yeah, she's been a little bit kind of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
All right.
Breaking news. Current events of the past. So I'm not positive. I know sometime in this episode is July 16th, 2005. Which, like, also, we're recording this July 21st, 2022. So, like, similar anniversary almost. Any ideas what happened July 16th, 2005? I can give you a hint.
Okay.
You and I probably care more about this than the average person or adult or person in America.
I don't know.
It was the release of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, the book.
Oh.
Happened that summer.
That's fun.
Yeah. So, like, you know, I wouldn't have gone to Survivor Guatemala because I'd have been like, nah, my book's coming. Sorry. Gotta read it.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know what my deal was with that book. I remember, like, I don't know if I did like a midnight pickup for that, or maybe I got a delivery. I feel like I got a delivery.
I made Dad bring me to the release party at Walden Books in the mall. And then I read it all night and I was done with it by noon that day.
Nice. That's basically what I did with Deathly Hallows. I was at the Barnes and Noble at the Lenox in Columbus, but yeah, I'm blanking on Half-Blood Prince,
but I have some Half-Blood Prince trivia for you.
Okay.
To, see how much you remember this book that was released.
You ever wonder if,
17 years ago, almost.
What you ever wonder what the other half is? Half of it's blood. What's the other half? Magic?
I don't wonder.
Blood this. And magic. There we go. Case closed.
No, it's the other half is Snape.
I don't know about that. Spoilers.
Well, I mean, we're going to get brought to a trivia segment about this book. So, yeah, spoilers ahead, I guess. I found some, like, pre-written trivia questions that I am pick and choosing from. But these are not, like, sequential in the book or anything like that. Just FYI, don't be like, why are you going back to that or whatever. Who is the captain of the Gryffindor Quidditch team in the Half-Blood Prince?
It's Harry, right?
It's Harry. Good job. It's like, Harry.
Yeah, I had to quickly remember, but it was in 5 when he like just got kicked off the team because of Umbridge, basically. So yeah.
What does Horace Slughorn teach?
Potions.
Yeah, that was meant to be an easy one.
Listen, you saying it's easy does no good. Okay. All it does
was meant to be an easy one. I said it was meant to be an easy one.
All it does is like, it doesn't make me feel good for getting it right. And it only has potential to make me feel bad if I were to have gotten it wrong. In my classroom at school, I have posted around the room, like in like 6 different places, the phrase "that's easy" with a slash through it. Cause it's a forbidden phrase in my class.
Okay. I will try to do better then. I'm sorry.
It brings nothing to the conversation. All it does is has potential to make people feel bad.
What is Ginny's nickname for Bill's girlfriend?
Phlegm?
Phlegm, yes. Kayla is listening from the other room and is answering these questions off mic, FYI.
I can't hear her.
She answered at the same time as you. How old must a student be to take an apparition test?
I would guess 17, because that's the wizarding age for adulthood. But that seems...
That is correct.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, what, yeah, because they do it in the spring. What are the three D's of apparition?
Destination, determination.
Destination. Yeah.
And destination again.
No, that would be really great, though. Destination, I'm shocked you got two. That was a hard one. Am I allowed to say that?
Sure.
Destination, determination, and deliberation.
Deliberation. I feel like that. Okay. I feel like that's a lot similar to determination, but okay.
What potion brings its user unusually good luck?
Felix Felicis.
What does Romilda Vane spike with a love potion?
A chocolate frog? No, like a box of chocolates. Chocolates.
Chocolate cauldrons. So, yes.
Chocolates. Yeah.
Whom does Ron date briefly?
Lavender Brown.
Yes. Sorry, I'm skipping some of these. Who do we find out turned Remus Lupin into a werewolf?
Fenrir Greyback.
How many times do we learn that Dumbledore has been offered the position of Minister of Magic?
Three.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Cornelius Fudge, no longer the Minister of Magic. Who is?
Rufus Scrimgeour.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I should hesitate a little bit, because you might talk yourself out of the right answer. I feel like you've tried to...
No, I wouldn't have. The other person I was thinking of was Pious Thickness, but that's after the ministry falls to the dark side.
Yep. Yeah. Who wins the Quidditch championship this year?
Gryffindor. And then Harry and Ginny make out.
Yeah, or snog, as they say. What does Harry slip into Ron's drink the morning of his first Quidditch match?
Oh, not Felix Felicis? Does that count as an answer?
I mean,
it's just I don't remember the actual liquid. Water. It's not Felix Felicis. He wants it to seem like it is, but it's not.
Yeah, the answer is nothing.
Okay.
So I'll give that to you. Who is the Half-Blood Prince?
Snape.
What does it mean
that his mom's last name was Prince, I think, right? And he's a half.
That's accurate. And what is his mom's first name? Kayla's answer from the other room to that question was Princess. I'm just imagining someone named Princess Prince.
Does it start with an E? Emmeline? Yeah. Emmeline? It's not Evelyn. Is it Evelyn? No. Amilda? I can't remember. Someone with an E.
It is much more typical in this, like, not to diss anyone named Amilda, but like, I know people with this name and I don't know anyone named
Emma Amilda. Emmeline? What is it?
Eileen.
I knew it was an E. Yeah, okay.
That's all I had. Half-Blood Prince. Not my favorite of the books, but probably my favorite of the movies.
Oh. What do if you like drink a poison that you're maybe unsure about, what's a remedy you can do?
A Bezoar?
Yeah. Shuffle a Bezoar down your throat.
Yeah.
Cool. That was July 2005.
July 16th.
That was between my freshman and sophomore year of college. I took a road trip that summer to Seattle.
Oh.
Well, technically to like Bellingham, which is north of Seattle, but I went to Seattle on that trip and then drove back through Canada.
Was that your first time to Seattle?
No. Second. I went the year before on our other road trip.
Oh, okay. Anyway, back to it.
Back to it. We go to Immunity Challenge, where there is a merge feast, but you only get to participate in the merge feast if you skip out on the challenge, which means you have no shot at immunity.
Now, this felt very like season 41, 42.
Yeah, I like this idea. It was good. It's mean.
Oh, I actually hated it for this particular episode because it was already like six people are safe and four people are fucked. And the people that sit out of the challenge are part of that six.
Yeah, that's true. The people that sit out are Lydia, Rafe, Jamie, and Steph. But it does mean that two people that were part of that six do stay or do compete. So Judd competes and...
Cindy?
Yes. Yeah. So they have to balance a clay pot on their head with no hands and while they're standing on a wooden cube. If they last an hour, then they move to a tiebreaker. While they're doing that, there's some like bickering chat, like talking back and forth between Jamie and Bobby John, basically, because Jamie says that Brandon and Bobby John are on the chopping block. He says that Judd is competing just to protect their lead, but like doesn't really need to. And mostly just Jamie's doing a lot of shit talking and while Bobby John's competing here.
Which Rafe, related to the Axis of Evil thing, Rafe is like, let's just enjoy our food, guys. Let's just shut up. Just enjoy our food. Just, we don't have to say anything. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. He was really starting to feel Rafe. Bad here. Yeah. Dani drops. She's the only one to drop before the hour time is up. And then they get to an hour and there's a tie break. And the tie break is pots on your head, race to the top of this like pyramid structure.
Which is much harder than just standing there with a pot on your head.
Oh, yeah. When he first said it, I didn't realize, I forgot about the pots thing. And he was just like, race to the top of this. And it's like these stone crumbly stairs. And I was like, this is so dangerous. Like, they're going to get so hurt. And I was like, oh, yeah, they've got pots on their head. They'll go like semi-slow. Oh, they didn't actually.
I think like, may have just like not moved for a minute because like.
Well, that's kind of what like Cindy. Who was the other? Cindy, Brandon, BJ, Gary.
Danny.
A couple people went slower. Not Danny. She wouldn't have qualified for this because she dropped
before. Oh, you're right. You're right. You're right.
But a couple people did go slower, but it turns out like Gary did make it to the top. So, because yeah. I guess I cut you off. I was thinking the same thing of like, people are just going to drop it. Like, I'll just be able to win by like not dropping the pot.
Yeah. No, we agreed. I was surprised that, because like, the three guys like race to the top and two of them do fall and Gary mm-hmm. almost falls and makes it.
Yeah.
But I would have just taken my bet of like, maybe everything will be fine and they'll just all fail.
Yeah. Except for Gary who wins immunity. We go back to camp a little bit. Judd is annoyed at Jamie for talking so much during the challenge. Jamie kind of continues to needle Bobby John, trying to find out what he's thinking in terms of voting. Bobby John tells Brandon that people are thinking of voting for Jamie, in which Brandon says, I'm going to crap my pants if it works out like that. You don't need to crap your pants, Brandon, because it didn't work out like that. We had to tribal council. Rafe, really trying to like flip this axis of evil, says, it's a game about numbers, but it's also about respecting each other. He's really just, he doesn't want to be part of this axis of evil any longer, but
I like Rafe's little comments and stuff like this, I think kind of work. Like next episode, they're much less evil.
That's true. And I wonder, it could be that, it could just be like they've spent a few days together. And so maybe they're like over being so evil, I guess. I don't know, but yeah, it might be Rafe is a real peacekeeper here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's purely Rafe, but it is like Jamie specifically like ends up feeling remorse and feeling bad and like changing his ways.
Yeah, so some of that an important
happen for everybody.
Yeah, an important. Well, yeah, because an important thing that happens at Tribal Council is Bobby John tells Jamie he has no class, which
yes,
I didn't think was as big of a deal because they're just like fighting back and forth. Turns out that was a huge statement for Jamie, which comes up more in the next episode. Cindy said that she chose to compete in the challenge because she didn't need the reward feast. Like she can eat when she gets home, but these challenges you can only do while you're on Survivor, basically. And she just wants to like experience being on that, which I thought was nice.
I didn't think that was a good answer. Yeah.
Jeff asks if anybody wants to present the idol, the hidden idol.
I will throw out there. I can balance a pot at my house too.
That's true. But can you do it while standing on a block?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. Well, you got me there.
Yeah.
Brandon gets voted out.
I cannot do it while climbing ancient ruins.
Maybe. How old is your house? Maybe like the stairs of your house, they're pretty old.
I mean, my house is over 100 years old, so well, maybe that would count.
Brandon gets voted out 6-4, which has happened 9 times. Happened to Andrew Savage in season 7, Rory in season 9, and Brandon.
Classic. Bougie. Now. Ratchet.
And we head on to the last episode that we're talking about in this episode, which is episode 9, Secrets and Lies and an Idol Surprise.
Another 3.
Uh-huh. Jamie is really mad at Bobby John that he said he had no class. He said he's not angry. His feelings are hurt. Which for a second, I'm like, aw. And then I'm like, Jamie, you fucking suck. I don't care, actually.
Yeah. Also, maybe show some class if you are want to be upset about that. Like, I totally agree with Bobby John. As much as I hate to say that, like, he's correct. Jamie was being a total dick.
Mm-hmm.
He deserved to be told that.
Yep. There's some more idol hunting, and we head to the reward challenge where they get to throw an arrow with an atlatl.
Yeah.
I've used an atlatl before.
Oh, really? I had never heard of an atlatl before.
I don't know if it's like the same type of atlatl, but one of the indigenous tribes native to Ohio. So my fourth grade teacher at Miller Elementary, Mr. Hughes, was a huge fan, like really knew a lot. Like his main thing that he knew about was like different indigenous tribes around Ohio. And he had like a replica atlatl that we went in the big field that was behind Miller and he let us throw it one day. It was sweet.
That's awesome.
This could be completely wrong, but I remember doing very well.
I also had Mr. Hughes for history, so I'm sure that I learned about atlatls in that class, but I don't really remember that. I will say, listeners, if you have never heard of an atlatl, please write out like 5 ways that you think atlatl is spelled and then go look it up, and I pretty much guarantee that you will be wrong.
Oh yeah, I nailed it. But yes, if you're not sure, or yeah, if you're not familiar with them.
But yeah, so this is a fun, we've seen rewards similar to this before. I think it's kind of fun. I think we saw one in All Stars, maybe.
I was mad about this challenge.
What?
I didn't like this challenge.
I don't know that I like the challenge. I like the idea of progressive rewards.
I like that. Sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead.
Yeah, they use the atlatl to throw the arrow to like a target that is on the ground, essentially, and person who gets closest to the center of the target gets a really good meal, and everybody gets some sort of meal, and it is based on how well you did in the challenge. So the second place person gets the second best meal, third place person gets the third best meal, etc., 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 until we get down to the last place person that just gets some nuts and some pond water.
So the reason I didn't like it was usually the survivor challenges are pretty well balanced, that there's less of a luck factor of, or like the order that things happen in isn't as important. Because they only got one shot at this, I feel like going at least on like the back half is a huge advantage, because you get to see how other people do with throwing this brand new device, like using this new device. So I think they should have gotten like 3 throws each or something, and then done like cumulative score, and then they still could have done the ranking and points or something. But like only one throw seemed like a lot, or give them like some, be like, all right, here's what we're going to use. Y'all got half an hour to practice and then we're going to do it. Something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I did not love that it was like, this is our first time seeing an atlatl. They get one throw and that's it.
Right.
I was in fact shocked at how well most of them did, having never even used one of these before, I assume.
Yeah. When I did it, I did pretty well my first time when I was 8,
are you sure it was your first time?
10 years old. Yeah.
You didn't like throw with it a couple times and you just remember the good one at the end?
I'm not sure about that. I don't know. Yeah. So they all throw. Judd. Wait,
were you throwing like arrows with it?
Something like that. Seems, yeah. Like,
dangerous to give fourth graders.
Yeah, but you're like throwing it to an empty field.
Yeah.
It might have been like a stick without an arrowhead on the end. I don't know. I just know I did real good.
In fact, I proposed to my wife in like on the hill behind that school.
The land lab?
In those woods. Yep.
That's fun.
Where we got engaged.
Your wife. Judd gets first place in this, which earns him a steak and lobster dinner. Jamie gets fourth place, but because Bobby John said he has no class, Jamie cedes his spot and says he's going to move down to last place to show that he does, in fact, have class. This, I don't like Jamie. This was a classy move. It was a good move.
It was a good move, and also felt very old school Survivor to me. Like, in this batch of episodes, I just constantly was feeling like this feels like old Survivor and this feels like new Survivor. And I feel like we're like bridging that gap a little bit. This feels very old school Survivor to me.
Yeah. Yeah. So they all get to go enjoy their food. Judd gets a really nice like steak and lobster dinner. And then it kind of goes down from there to Jamie in last place gets Ramon nuts, which Ramon nuts are the same as breadfruit nuts, which is what the Howler monkeys eat.
Oh, okay. Okay. Some of the other meals in this were like a burger, spaghetti with meat sauce, Rafe, which was kind of in the middle, got like a ham and cheese sandwich.
Yeah, he was pretty happy about it. Rafe just seems like a nice person. He's just like, oh, this is more than I expected.
I think that Rafe might be one of the only people in this season who I actually like.
Yeah.
Like, I don't dislike Lydia or Cindy. I just feel like we never see enough of them for me to actually care. Rafe, I feel like I see enough of than I actually like him.
I don't think I have any problems.
I'm pretty sure I actively dislike everybody else. Oh, I don't dislike Danny. That's true.
We find out Judd gets to invite two of the people to join him at his table, where they could share the food if they want, but they also, that gives them access to the open bar and the dessert menu. I thought what was going to happen was he's going to be like, oh, I'll choose Jamie because Jamie was like so classic and gave it up. Nope. He chooses Bobby John and Steph.
Yeah. I was like certain he was going to choose Jamie. Like, obviously you choose Jamie for this.
Yeah. So he chooses Bobby John and Steph. He drinks a lot. There's a clip where Bobby John says he's trying like not to gorge himself too much out of respect because all the other people are just like watching them eat. But then like it shows him like still eating and drinking plenty. While they're doing this, Gary just like stares them down. And so much so that Judd's like, Gary, you got to stop. Like, I can't eat while you're just staring at me. Yeah, but Judd gets very, very drunk. Bobby John also drunk. They return to camp and Bobby John's like, hey, let's try to move this stump to the fire. The stump he's talking about was a whole ass tree. So they're
didn't even know they had ass trees in Guatemala.
Yeah, whole ones. So they are both very drunk. Turns out the next day that we find out Jed threw up right in the shelter where everybody sleeps.
Well, I mean, they all say that Judd did that. Judd thinks that he got up and walked across camp and did it over on the other side of camp.
Well, then the camera really nicely just gives us a zoom in on his vomit in the shelter.
Someone's vomit.
Yeah, that's true. Judd. Oh, something we didn't talk about is part of the reward Judd got for getting first in that challenge was he gets a clue for where the idol is.
Yeah.
And he chooses to share this with Steph. And his clue says, it is not on the ground. It's up in a tree. And then he goes out to everybody else and he's like, listen, I know I threw up in the shelter last night. Let me like to help you all out because I fucked up. I'll tell you what the clue was. The idol's most definitely not up in a tree. It's definitely on the ground.
Yeah, it's really on the ground, guys. Like, I don't know where it could be, but it's on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. So Steph knows the truth and he knows the truth, but everybody else for right now thinks it's on the ground. Yeah, so then there's a little bit of like strategy talk for voting. Some of it is just like Rafe is a little bit unsure. He's like, are these guys still the axis of evil? Should I stay with them? Should I split, go to the other group? What's going on? So they're not sure. We head to the immunity challenge where they have to like work through this obstacle course. It's a style that we've seen before where like everybody starts off and then as they get through like different sections, it dwindles down to smaller and smaller numbers. The final round is Rafe versus Jamie, and Jamie wins immunity there. And we're on day 24. It seems like the big group is going to be targeting Gary. He's a little nervous, so he goes idol hunting. While he's idol hunting, he sees Judd idol hunting. And weirdly, Judd is looking up at the trees even though he said, the clue said that Idol was definitely on the ground. And so Gary's like, what the fuck? Okay, well, obviously Judd was lying. And so he starts looking in the tree and he finds an idol, and it shows him like walking back to camp, just like kind of trying to hold it behind his back, which people just were oblivious or like not paying attention, I guess, because it didn't seem like it was that hard to notice that he was carrying something weird.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. The wildest part of all of this to me is that like Gary didn't already doubt Judd until he saw him looking in the trees.
Oh yeah, like when Judd told everybody like definitely on the ground, I was like, you don't need to, like, yeah, it was a very bad lie.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we head to tribal council. Something comes up about lying. Gary says he has not lied ever so far.
This is the showdown I was talking about with Jeff, because Jeff straight up asks Gary, like, have you lied? And Gary is like, no, I haven't lied to anybody. And then there's this like silence and they stare at each other a little bit. And like Gary is lying about his own last name.
Yeah.
Like Gary is lying about his very identity and sticking to that lie, even though everybody knows it's a lie. And he's very much lying. And Jeff is like, are you lying, Gary? And he's like, no, absolutely not.
I think I like just completely care so little about him lying about that football thing. I didn't even think about that. I was just like, yeah, okay. I guess he does seem to have been played a pretty honest game so far.
I mean, he has, except for his entire identity.
Yeah. Judd also says he hasn't lied. And then speaking of his lies about the idol clue, Jeff's like, all right, time to vote. But before that, does anybody want to play an idol? And Gary's like, sure do, bud. And plays his idol. And everybody's like, ooh. But then, so in current day, the reveals come before the vote read, after the votes have been cast, but before the vote reveal, right?
Yes. You play the idol after the votes have been cast.
Right.
So they cancel out votes. Yeah.
So I don't know when they'll
win that.
It's different, but it was like, you can tell that they like know this isn't the best, because he's like, all right, we're going to go vote. No talking. Just like no talking to anybody, because he doesn't want them to be able to like re-strategize and replan their vote now that they know Gary is immune, in case they were voting for Gary.
Which just like, I mean, it is different, obviously. I still think it is interesting of like someone else being immune that you didn't expect to be immune, and having to like rethink your vote before the vote without talking. Like, this is just a different,
I don't like
strategic
it.
Strategic thing.
Because what it would happen is,
I almost
is,
wish that both were in the game in like different things. Like they were called different things, or they were,
but with this
different things.
With this method, it wouldn't work. Because what would happen is, like, now that people know this works, what would happen is going into tribal council, you'd just be like, okay, our number one is here, our number two is this person. Like you would just always have a backup ready to go. And so then it wouldn't matter.
Yeah, that's true. But sometimes you need that number two, like for the vote. And so like,
yeah, that's fair. That's true. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, because I assume that like every season will have these basically from here on out. So it'll be interesting to see how they, because this is the first introduction of it. So how they like, how the tweaking of it goes throughout time. The votes come back. Bobby John is gone. I believe 6-2-1, which is a votagami. Had never happened before. It's only ever happened twice ever. We have not seen the other time, obviously, because this was the first time. And it didn't happen in 41 or 42.
I guess maybe the hidden immunity idol is just like such a big thing because we know that it becomes like part of Survivor DNA, basically. Maybe it wasn't actually like billed as being a huge thing at the time. I'm just surprised that it was like, oh, it's our first hidden immunity idol. And it literally lasted 2 episodes.
Well, yeah. It wasn't built up for the season, though. Like, I only knew that it was coming this season because you mentioned it.
Right. That's why I'm like, it is odd that this like twist that was 2 episodes becomes like such a core basis for Survivor.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah, but that's similar to like, if you think about like the biggest thing from 41 and 42, you'd say it's like the hourglass twist. That's also 1 episode, 2 episodes.
Yeah, that's true. But that's like, I hope that that does not become core Survivor DNA
forever. Oh yeah. The other, so 6 people voted for Bobby John voted for Steph, which I thought was interesting considering he was just talking about with her about like, hey, help me make it to the jury. Which he did.
Oh, but he did also, and he was trying to convince Steph's alliance of like, hey, she like won't take you to the end. She'll backstab you.
Oh, yeah.
Don't trust her. And they were like, Bobby John, you're fine. Like, you're not the vote tonight. Don't worry about it. Which at the time was true because Gary was going to be the vote. But
yeah, he did convince Cindy. She voted for Steph. And then Gary voted for Cindy, I believe. Next week on Survivor, they show Jamie is irritated with Gary. The best reward yet is coming, apparently. And Lydia gets put on the spot for something. Last week, Patrick and I predicted that Amy would get eliminated. I predicted Amy would get eliminated. Patrick predicted Margaret would get eliminated. And they are both eliminated. So we did good there. The final three. Well, we should pick who we think is going to be eliminated next first before we talk about final three.
I mean, Gary. I'm going to say Gary.
Okay. I think I'll say something.
I think unless he goes on an immunity tear, he's out like the next time that he doesn't have immunity.
Yeah, that's fair. Which is unfortunate because he's in both our final threes. I'm going to say Steph. Our final threes, I had last week said Gary, Jamie, and Danny. And they are both all still here. So I'm going to stick with that. Patrick had said Steph, Gary, and Margaret. And Margaret is no longer with us.
And I don't want to choose Gary. I'm going to say Steph, Rafe, and Cindy.
Okay. For whatever reason, I have it stuck in my head that like Cindy would spell her name with an I at the end instead of a Y at the end, which is weird. Like I've been spelling
every time I type too.
Every time I type in my notes, I type like C-Y-N-D-I, like flip the I and the Y, like she would just have her name spelled like that. And that's not the case. I think
it's because Danny ends in an I and Lydia has like the Y before the I.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
And so like I put those things onto Cindy also. I do the exact same thing.
All right.
You got also, because we know nothing about Cindy. She's
a zookeeper. Little bit
more present in these episodes, but like, yeah. Cindy's been absent this season.
You got anything to plug? Recommend?
Ooh.
I played a new board game last night I'd never played before called Small World, which is kind of fun.
Oh, I've heard of that.
It's got really cool artwork. It's fun. It's kind of like Risk a little bit. So there's like this board setup, and what happens is you like draft a army of people that are like different races, and all the races have different attributes, kind of like Dungeons and Dragons does, and they'll come with like powers. And so you get like a set, like you have 10 armies and you just like start doing your attacking around the board, but then like you don't get new armies every turn. It's you can like redistribute or keep attacking and spread yourself thin if you want. But then if you get to a point where you're like, all right, I think I can't attack anymore, I'm probably gonna get wiped out soon, you just like, it's called, you go into, I can't remember the term for it, but you just like give up on that race basically. So like you still own those, but you don't control them anymore. And so like, as long as nobody attacks those spots, you get points for it, but you start in on a new army of race. And so like, then you can come in and with a new group and just like kind of keep cycling through that while people are like attacking each other. It was pretty fun. I liked it. It was like a more balanced Risk kind of.
Okay. That's intriguing.
Oh,
I'm going to say Dungeons and Dragons. I have spent the better part of this week creating Dungeons and Dragons characters for like pretty much everybody in my family, because we're going to do a little one shot while we're on vacation next week. And it's been really fun just to like make a bunch of characters and think about D&D again and plan a little campaign for them. So Dungeons and Dragons, it's a good time.
Yeah, I'm excited. Patrick's emailed me my character this morning and he's great. I like him.
Thanks. You were talking about the character, not me, but I'm going to pretend it was talking about me.
No, it was completely about Slake.
Yeah.
Slake is my character.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, don't say anything else because people might listen to this before we play.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Listeners, if you are a Dungeons and Dragons player, why don't you email us? Like, what's your favorite character you've ever played? Mine? A guy named Manji Calcifer. He was a hill dwarf. Nope. He was a forest gnome wizard.
I think I've met Manji Calcifer before. I feel like you know, in playing with you.
Oh,
I don't know why
introduced him into a world. I've maybe just told you his name before because it's a fun name.
I think maybe there was that one time when we played with like Adam's other D&D crew for like a Christmas surprise or whatever. And like, oh, yeah, Will maybe DM'd for us. I think that you may have maybe played him for that.
That might be. Well, I think that one, I was going to say, I don't think Will DM'd that. Adam, I thought that was Adam DMing like a Santa snowman thing.
Oh, yep. You're right.
Yeah. That name, one time Steve emailed me, or not emailed me, mailed me like a gift or something and addressed it to Manji Calzever at the address I was at. And so our apartment mailbox was labeled as like my last name, Sean's last name, and then also Manji Calzever was listed there because they thought it was somebody that lived there. So listeners, if you got any fun Dungeons & Dragons stories like that, email us at tribalcouncilpodcast@gmail.com or tweet at us at tribalcouncil20. So listeners, we're going to skip a week. This is going to be our first week off ever since we started the podcast, I believe. Next week.
Yeah. Wow.
Next week, we're going to be on vacation together, and we're not going to have time to like watch all the episodes and record and edit and get all that out there. So we are going to skip a week. We have 1 week of buffer before like the new season starts anyways in season 43. So like it'll work out. So we're going to skip a week. So in 2 weeks, we'll be talking about episodes 10, 11, 12, and 13. And then the week after that, we'll talk about the season 11 finale. And then we'll do same run through with season 12. And then we'll be ready for season 43. So you've got a little bit of extra time to catch up on these episodes. Enjoy your summer. And we will see you in a couple weeks. And as always, for Tribal Council, this is Chris signing off.
This is Patrick.
And the tribe has spoken.
Oi, 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 oi.